Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for who you are. Thank you that we have your word, and I just pray now you would make it really clear to all of us who you are, who we are, and what you ask of us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, has anyone been watching the Women's World Cup here in Australia over the past few weeks? A few people? Yeah, nice. We've been going okay, for those of you who haven't been keeping up to it. We've had one win, one loss, so not the best. But let me ask you a question about the Matildas. Can anyone earn a spot on the Matildas? Some people, there's a few yes, a few no's. Well, the answer is no, because you have to work really hard. You have to train for years and years and years to be able to earn a spot on the team. You have to earn it. Can I walk into Arendelle Macca's and ask for a payslip? No, I don't work at Macca's. I haven't earned any money from them, so I can't ask them for the payslip, as nice as that would be. But the point of this intro is this, is that our whole lives are built on earning things. The classic is you work hard in school to earn the good grades, which will then get you into a good course in uni, which you work hard in to get good grades there. In order to get a good job, which you work hard in to earn the money to get the house and the car and everything you need to support the family. Our whole lives are built on earning things. And this isn't necessarily a wrong sort of thing. Like, it's actually natural. It kind of makes sense. Like, think about it, right? Kind of in the song we just heard, you know, you wouldn't want a person who's lazy, sits around the house the whole day, does absolutely nothing to earn the big bucks. Like, that just makes no sense. Like, there's a natural part of us that thinks we have to work hard. We have to work hard and earn our way in life. But this mindset of earning can actually mess many people up when it comes to the good news of Jesus. It flips it on its head. So the good news about Jesus, it isn't fair. So this is what we're going to be looking at in the passage this morning, and this is really what I think it tries to drive home. Not only for people who haven't heard the gospel at all, but actually for people who have. I honestly think this is a very important message for everyone here. So last month, we looked at the beginning of the book of Galatians about the one true gospel and how important it is to believe the only one, the gospel of grace, how everything we have is given from God. This week, we're going to be looking at this good news, and we're going to be looking at who will be saved. Will you? And we'll be looking at how the mindset of earning messes people up when it comes to Jesus. But as a quick outline for the talk, I've got two main points. The first one is unfairly justified, and the second one is trust in Jesus only. This will make more sense as we go through, but let's have a look at the passage, hey? So verse 15 to 16 says this: "We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified." That's quite a long verse. Many of the same words are repeated over and over again, but my hope is that this will be really crystal clear to everyone here by the end of these few minutes. So to recap what the verse just said, we are not justified by works of the law, but we are justified by faith in Christ. There are some key words there, so let's break it down. So in verse 15, Paul says, "We who are Jews by birth." So Paul is saying, we Jews know that a person is not justified by faith, and then the rest of the verse continues on. For those of you who do not know, the Jews were God's chosen people. They were descended from Abraham, and the Old Testament pretty much tracks the history of these people for hundreds of years. So this is where it's coming from. Paul is a Jew, and he's writing to people who are not Jews. So let's have a look at verse 16 now with this in mind. So we Jews know that a person is not justified by the works of the law. Works of the law. I think Joe did a very good job of illustrating this point. But the works of the law just pretty much means obeying the law that God gave to Israel. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, he gave them a law. He gave them some rules, and it involved things like the Ten Commandments, things which you guys may have heard of, like, do not be envious, love the Lord your God, or that's not in the Ten Commandments, you shall have no other gods before me, things like this. But the works of the law just pretty much means obeying the law that God gave to Israel. So keeping this in mind, let's go back to the verse, let's have another look. We who are Jews know that a person is not justified by the works of the law. Justified. This is a pretty big word. It can also be translated as counted righteous. And it pretty much just means a person who is right with God. God looks at this person, and legally, in his eyes, they're good. They are right. They've done nothing wrong. It's pretty much like you're in a courtroom, and the judge looks at you, and he's like, yep, you're all good. You can go free. They are right in his eyes. So when Paul says a person is not justified by the works of the law, it pretty much means this. A person can never be right with God by obeying the law that he gave to Israel. And remember that Paul is a Jew telling this to non-Jews. So he's pretty much telling these guys, look, we who are Jews, we who have this law, know that we can't get right with God through this law. So neither can you guys. No one can, whether you're a Jew or not. Paul is trying to tell us that no one can get right with God by obeying his law. Think about it like this. You've fallen into a river. All right, there should be a river on the screen behind me. Yep, that's great. And your aim is to get from the bottom of the river to the top of the river. Looks pretty easy enough, right? You're in the river, you have to swim up it. But I've kind of tricked you, so you can look at the next slide if that's okay. This river's raging. There are waves, white water rapids, whatever you want to call it. And your task is still to swim from the bottom of the river to the top of the river. How do you think this is going to go? Probably not well. You'd have no chance. You would get pummeled over and over again by the waves. You'd probably hit your head on a rock. It wouldn't go well. You wouldn't make it to the top. There's just no way you would. This is a picture of us trying to obey God's law. You've got no chance. God's law is a perfect law, and none of us are. Well, the question comes up, I suppose, well, why? Why can't we get right through God's law? The reason God gave the law to Israel was because they were sinful. God gave his law to a group of sinful people so that they could come close to a holy God. But it didn't get rid of the issue. It didn't get rid of the sin in their lives. And so the point I'm trying to make is this, and actually the point I think the passage is trying to make, if you think you can get God's attention by being better than everyone else around you, or by trying your hardest, I want you to remember this verse, that no one can be justified by the works of the law. No one can be made right with God by your efforts, by your trying to obey him. If you tried your hardest to draw a perfect circle, you'd never be able to do it perfectly. Only a robot could. We have all dishonored our parents. We've all put other things before God, and we've all been envious of other people's things. Every single one of us has lived a life of rebellion against God. No one is perfect, and it's a big problem. If you haven't heard this before, there is good news coming, and it's in the passage. It's in the verse that we have just read. But if you have heard this before, as a bit of a side note, the news that we are incredibly worse sinners than we'll ever realize should really cause us to be more and more humble before God. The more we know him. But the good news, the amazing news, is that God sees how sinful we are, But he chooses to come and to save us, which is what we're about to see. Not because we are good, but because he is good and loving. So let's continue in the verse we've just had a brief look at. We who are Jews know that a person is not justified by the works of the law. So I hope we're all on the same page now. But by faith in Jesus Christ. This verse makes its point very clear. You cannot be right before God by trying to obey him. But a person, anyone, is justified, is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is a pretty big word. It pretty much just means believing, accepting, trusting in Jesus. So going back to the picture of the river, it's pretty much rather than swimming against the river, trying to make your way from the bottom to the top, a guy comes by in a boat, and this guy holds out his hand to you, and you hop in the boat, and up the river you go. The guy in the boat is the Lord Jesus. So when we trust in Jesus, Jesus pulls us into his boat, and we go straight up the river of obeying God, because Jesus has obeyed him for us, which is amazing. But to come back to the beginning, how does this work? This kind of sounds a bit unfair. Is God being an unjust judge? Is he overlooking all of the guilt and the punishment that we have racked up for ourselves? Well, no. Having faith in Jesus means having faith in his death and resurrection. Verse 21 mentions this, and we'll have a closer look at this verse pretty soon. But the thing is this, and this is a really cool thing about justification. When Jesus got on that cross, we actually switched places. God looked at Jesus on the cross and he saw our sins, my sin, your sin. If we have faith in Jesus, God looked at Jesus on the cross just as if Jesus was the one who committed the sins we have. God looked at Jesus just as if Jesus was the one who had lied to my parents. Jesus hadn't, but I had. God looked at Jesus just as if Jesus was the one who had used God's name in the wrong way. Jesus hadn't, and we have. God looked at Jesus just as if Jesus had turned away from God day after day after day and lived his own way, just gone his own way. But Jesus hadn't, and we all have. So in his anger against us and our sin, God punished his only innocent, beloved son. God the Father punished Christ for all the sins of many, many people, of us. God looked at Jesus on the cross and he saw us. Now, I want to ask the question again. Does that sound fair? Did Jesus earn that? No, we did. And there's more than this, because of Jesus' perfect life, perfect death and resurrection, if we trust in Jesus, God can legally look at us and he can see us just as if we're Jesus. Jesus obeyed God and his law perfectly. None of us have. It's kind of like when we hop in Jesus's boat, it has no motor, but Jesus is up the front and he has the rope and he's swimming up the stream. None of us could, but he could. Jesus is the only one who is right before God and we're not. But if we have faith in Jesus, God looks at us just as if we're living a perfect life, just as if we are his only innocent, perfect son. He can be our heavenly father. He can love us. He can choose not to punish us. This is what justification means. For God to look at us legally just as if we're Jesus. For God to look at Jesus on the cross and see him just as if he was us. And let me ask again, is this fair? Did we earn this right standing with God? And it's a big fat no. That is what this verse means. No one can get right with God by trying to obey him, by trying hard. The only way to be right with God is to have our faith in Jesus Christ. So, when I read the verse again, I hope it makes much more sense to you guys, if it wasn't already. We know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. So if you remember anything from the talk, this is it. I want you to remember and know this, is that if you trust in Jesus, God the Father legally looks at you just as if you have lived Jesus' perfect life. And he looked at Jesus on that cross just as if Jesus has committed all of the sins that you have. This is amazing grace. This is undeserved love. And this is unfair justification. Now, before I move on, let's jump ahead and have a look at verse 20. I think it's an amazing verse. Many of you guys will know this from a Colin Buchanan song. But let me just read it real quick. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If we live by faith in the Son of God, God doesn't only just look at us just as if we're Jesus, but Jesus actually comes to live in us. That's what this verse is trying to say, right? It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Jesus comes to live in us by his Spirit. And more than that, God didn't just look at Jesus on the cross just as if Jesus had committed our sins, but this verse says that our old sinful selves were crucified with him, that they're done away with. The point I'm trying to make is this is that not only does God legally see us as Jesus and Jesus as us, but that transformation actually happens and Jesus comes to live in us and change us and we turn away from our sin. We'll talk about this more when I get to chapter 5, because I think Paul talks about it a lot more when we get there, but I just thought that was a good point to make, that when we trust in Jesus, we are changed. Selfishness turns to selflessness. Gossip turns to love. We turn away from our old sinful way of life because of what Jesus has gone through for us. We become what God legally sees. But let's move on to the last point. Trust Jesus only. So we've had a look at unfair justification and how we are justified by having faith in Christ. So let's have a look at verse 17 now and move on and see what we're meant to do here. The passages are a bit tricky, so let's see how we go. But let me read verse 17. But if, in seeking to be justified in Christ, we Jews find ourselves also among the sinners, doesn't that mean that Christ promotes sin? This pretty much means if we put our faith in Christ, right, and find ourselves breaking God's law and living like the Gentiles used to, doesn't that mean that Jesus wants us to sin, to disobey God? Well, Paul's response is absolutely not, right? And kind of like we have just had a quick look at in verse 20, those who have faith in Jesus kill their old sinful selves. But then Paul cryptically tries to explain himself in verse 18, and he says this, if I rebuild what I destroyed, then I really would be a lawbreaker. Is everyone on the same page with this? You know, crystal clear, clear as mud. Paul is trying to say, it's kind of like you have built an amazing Lego masterpiece, right? And then you smash it down, and Paul is trying to say, why would you rebuild it again? So like, he's obviously not talking about a Lego masterpiece. What is he trying to talk about? Well, this is what I think, and I think the answer is in the verse after as well, verse 19. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. I think Paul is trying to say, ironically, that those who are outside of the law are not necessarily the law breakers. Rather, after you've been saved by Jesus, if you put yourself back under the law, if you bring the law back in to try to get extra brownie points with God, you're the lawbreaker. The thing which we all built up and destroyed was we built up, you know, law-keeping, trying to act in a good way to get right with God. Jesus comes in and he destroys it. He tears it right down. And Paul's going, why on earth would you try to build that up again? You're already right in his eyes. The law just shows us that we are sinful and we deserve to die. We deserve to be separated from God forever. It does not help us get right with God. For the Galatians, they were, like, if you're kind of reading around the passage, they were trying to get circumcised and do all these old Jewish rituals, which were given by God, but they were doing them to try to get extra brownie points with God. For us, we might just try to be a good person to get extra brownie points with God, but the point remains the same for the Galatians and for us, in that this makes us the lawbreaker. You'd be crazy to go back to the law to get more right with God, because the law just shows you how much of a bad person you are. Doing so, going back to the law, would bring back the massive problem that Jesus went to the cross to solve. We're all sinners, and all we can do is trust in Jesus. This illustration might help, right? Let's say there's a guy called Ricky. He's in an aeroplane. He's going towards a holiday. He's pretty keen. But one of the engines blew, and the plane begins to fall out of the sky. Luckily, everyone has the parachutes, so the door opens. Everyone's putting the parachutes on. The crew's going around, here you go. They hand one to Ricky, and everyone's beginning to jump off the plane, right? Ricky looks at the parachute, puts it on, and he's at the edge of the plane. He's refusing to jump, though. And everyone else all around him is jumping off. They're screaming. Sirens are going. It's hectic, right? And one of the crew walks up to him, and they're like, hurry up. Jump. You don't have much time left. Trust the parachute. This is the best brand. You'll be completely fine. Look at everyone else. They're completely fine. The parachutes are working. And Ricky then turns to the flight crew guy, and he's like, yeah, I trust the parachute. But while everyone else is jumping off the plane, Ricky refuses to jump. He believes that the parachute can save him, but he wanted to save himself, and he couldn't bring himself to jump off the edge of the plane. So Ricky was the last one on the plane for ages as it was going down, 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 down. Whoops. And right before the plane hits the ground, Ricky realizes, oh, this is really close. I have to jump. So he finally jumps. But it was way too late. He was too close to the ground. The plane crashed. Ricky died. Rest in peace, Ricky. Now, it's not the happiest sort of narrative, but that's actually kind of the point. For Ricky, the only thing that mattered was him trusting the parachute. Didn't matter if Ricky was in the plane trying to flap his arms. It didn't even matter if he put on some, like, you know, wings which he used to play with when you were a kid. Nothing would work other than Ricky trusting the parachute completely, fully and only. The only thing that mattered was Ricky trusting the parachute. He even said that he trusted it. And intellectually, yeah, he knew the only way he could be saved was trust in the parachute, yet he refused to. He trusted in his own understanding. He listened to the fears in his head. Jesus is our parachute. We have to trust Jesus completely, fully, and only. It honestly doesn't matter if you're standing at the edge of the plane and you have the parachute on, you're looking like a Christian, you're praying for people, giving money to charity, being a nice person. It doesn't even matter if you've been baptized or taken communion. These things all matter in their own way, but not in getting right with God. Only one thing matters. And this is really, really key. The only thing that matters is trusting Jesus only and completely and fully. So let's read verse 21. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. If we rely on ourselves, we are saying that our righteousness, our right standing with God can be gained through our works, through the law. We are saying we can contribute to our own salvation. And what does verse 21 say? If we do this, we are throwing God's love, his grace, to the side. We're just throwing it away. It's kind of like you're in the river, you're drowning. Jesus comes along, you slap his hand away. Or you're on the boat and you jump out because you want to try go swimming again. It's not going to work. It's stupid. This verse 21 means if you're trying to earn your way to God, even slightly, you're actually saying that Jesus' death wasn't enough to save you and that you have to add to it. If you do not trust Jesus only to get right with God, you're not trusting in Jesus. If you say that you trust in Jesus, but actually, deep down, your safety net is, well, I know I'm a good person. I'm way better than this person, that person. I acted a lot better here and that. You're trusting in your actions to save you. You're not trusting in Jesus. You're actually saying that Jesus went to the cross for no reason. So I want you all to ask yourself, am I trusting in Jesus only to get right with God? Am I trusting in Jesus' life, the death, resurrection, to save me? Or am I trying to be saved by adding things on for also being a good person and doing this? This is an illustration I heard from Paul Washer. He's a pastor from America. And I honestly think this is amazing. This like blew me away the first time I heard this. So imagine tomorrow morning, you wake up, the alarm goes off. It's a normal day. You wake up before the rest of the family. Get in the Bible. You spend some good time in the Bible and in prayer. And then everyone else wakes up. You're treating them well. You're being Christ-like. You go to work or you go to school. You're prayerful throughout the whole day. You're thinking about other people, not just about yourself. You're having a great day. You're joyful. You're happy. Things are going great. You're working well. It's just a good day, right? And you come home, go to bed, and the next day is awful. It's a complete disaster, right? You miss your alarm, wake up late. You're angry, snappy with everyone around you. You get to work late. Forget to pray, forget to read your Bible, forget to do all these things. You're just thinking about yourself. It's an awful day. You can't work well, right? And you come home and how do you feel? Rubbish, right? And there's a good reason for that. You might actually even feel you're further away from God than on the first day. And I think there's a good reason for that as well. But if you think that the second day changes your right standing with God, your justification, you've misunderstood what it means to be a Christian. If your trust is in Jesus, you are just as right before God on the first day as you were on the second day. If your trust is in Jesus, you're right in his eyes, not because of your life and how good you are, it's because of Jesus' life and his perfect life and his sacrifice in our place. You can't contribute to your salvation. Yes, we should be absolutely ashamed, of how we acted on the second day. But the thing is that we should bring it to God, and we know that if we come to God humbly in repentance, that he will forgive us. If any of you have any questions about this, I realize it feels very counterintuitive, kind of wrong. Maybe it's the first time you've heard it. Like me and many others here, we're more than happy to have a chat with you guys, particularly if it's the first time you've heard it. But to recap everything we've just had a look at. No one, including you, can get right with God through his law, through your actions. His law shows us that we're just messed up. We can only be justified. We can only be made right in God's eyes by faith in Jesus Christ. And if we have our faith, our trust in Jesus, then God looks at us just as if we've never sinned. And God looked at Jesus just as if he committed our sins. We hop in the boat and up the river we go. This is unfair justification. So let's praise God. God has given us everything we ever needed and more. Forgiveness, eternity, freedom, joy, and it's all in Christ. God didn't have to send Jesus, but he chose to. So together, let's trust in Jesus, the parachute. Let's trust him and him only, fully to get right with God, knowing that he will forgive us if we come to him humbly in repentance. God sent Jesus because he wants to forgive us. And I also want to encourage everyone here who has been choosing to do this to continue on. It is hard to continue to trust in Jesus, but I just want to remind you that this is all there is and this is all that matters. So together, let's trust in Jesus only to be right with God, and let's say with Paul, the life we now live in the body, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We have been crucified with Christ. We no longer live, but Jesus Christ lives in us. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for Jesus, Lord. Thank you that through him, we can know you and be part of your family, Lord. We do not deserve this at all, and I just pray for everyone here that you would help us, Lord, to trust in Jesus only. Lord, we pray for those who are, who this may be the first time for them hearing the message, that you would help them to think through this, that they would look in the Bible to see more of who you are and who you really are, Lord. And Lord, we want to pray for everyone else here, Lord, and we just pray that we would all continue to trust in Jesus for the rest of our lives and praise you for who you are. And Lord God, we pray this in his name. Amen.